Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Lakers, they look to punch their ticket to the playoffs in New Orleans tonight. Big Perk, he tells us why it is all easier said than done, though, for LeBron and company. Plus, from Oakland to Sacktown, the Bay Area, and back down. You know, you've got to think this one is coming down to the wire. But who steps up when it matters the most, Steph or De'Aaron Fox? And Woj is here with all the details on Giannis's injury. Is he in jeopardy of missing the first round? NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm Malika Andrews, and look what we have here visiting us in studio. We borrowed him. You know, Richard Jefferson's been holding on to him for a little bit. The Larry O'Brien Trophy. But I don't need to tell these guys about that. No active player has hoisted this trophy more times than LeBron James and Steph Curry. These two have really been synonymous, right, with deep playoff runs for the better part of two decades. The last time that these two, they were home on the couch chilling during the postseason, what was the number one song? Oh, yeah, Mariah Carey, you know, We Belong Together. And tonight, one of these guys can clinch a playoff berth and the other could be headed home. Or we could get a winner-take-all game between these two all-time greats on Friday. But we have to start the show with some major news that could alter the landscape of the Eastern Conference. Giannis Antetokounmpo, remember, he missed the final three games of the regular season with a calf strain. The Bucks, they went 1-2 in those games. And Dame, Chris Middleton, Giannis, they've all played in just eight games together under Doc Rivers. And now our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, is reporting that they could be without the two-time MVP for some time in these playoffs. And Woj is with us now. How much time could Giannis be missing here?
Malika, the Bucks are preparing that they're going to start the playoffs without Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's not just missing game one. The hope is that with his rehab on that left calf, that he can return at some point in that first round series against Indiana. But there are no guarantees. And I think sometimes all of us, you know, we count on those magical healing powers of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Right. He has come back in big ways in the NBA Finals, in the Conference Finals, the NBA Finals, with probably what was a 4 to 6 week injury in a week, and lots of other small ways that people don't see all the time, where he's got a hamstring or a groin, and he comes back quicker than almost any of his peers. But you can't count on that with this one. This calf injury is real. It is certainly significant. And the Bucks know that they're going to have to win games, perhaps without Giannis, to be in this series, and then hopefully get him back at some point against an Indiana team, you know, that has beaten them 4 or 5 times this season.
Right, they're 4-1. The Pacers are against the Bucks this season, and you're saying that this is a significant injury to a player that averaged 42 points against the Pacers for the Milwaukee Bucks. I want to bring in Kendrick Perkins, Austin Rivers into the fold here, because Perk, are you confident in the Bucks' ability to be able to win a series against the Pacers without a healthy Giannis Antetokounmpo or Giannis at all?
Can I ask y'all a question? I've been having my television on yesterday and all day today, and everybody keep anointing the Pacers and looking at the Pacers like they're the Denver Nuggets or something. They're the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. Okay, yes, Halliburton, he's an outstanding player. I get that. Miles Turner, he's been balling. I get that. They're the sixth seed in the East, okay? And when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, first, they still have Damian Lillard, who could be the best player in that series. They have Bobby Portis, who is a candidate for sixth man but is going to be in that starting role. Brooke Lopez has shown us time and time again that he can elevate in the postseason. Money-making Middleton, we know what he's capable of doing. Still have Jay Crowder, Malik Beasley, some key pieces. So, you know, when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, yes, they can win this series. Matter of fact, I got them picked to win this series, led by Damian Lillard.
Come on, Perk. They absolutely need Giannis to win. They struggled beating the Pacers with Giannis. When we talked about earlier in the play-in and earlier this season, we've always talked about the Pacers having the Bucks' number really throughout the season. I'm not saying that the Bucks can't steal a win here, but if you're asking me, do I think the Milwaukee Bucks can beat the Pacers 4 out of 7 games without their best player and key player? Giannis, absolutely not. I think they need him. We've seen Milwaukee struggle with their identity at times, even with all of them on the floor. And like I just said, we saw them struggle versus this Pacers club fully healthy. I do think Bucks are the superior team. I'm in agreement with you on that part. But if we're going to sit here and say that, you know, the Pacers aren't really anybody special, no, they might not be a championship-contending team, but they certainly are a playoff team. They certainly are a team that can go and beat the Bucks without, especially without Giannis. I mean, what are we talking about here? For sure. They need Giannis to win.
Go ahead, Rose. Whoosh.
Oh, God.
It's a bad matchup for the Bucks. That's been the problem with the Pacers. They play fast. And I think especially for Damian Lillard in a playoff series, the ability to be able to slow the game down and play in the half court certainly always been a strength of his. But to play as fast, as the Pacers have played this season, the speed of that Indiana team has been a major matchup problem for the Pacers, for Damian Lillard. And I think that
for
is
sure.
going to be a major issue for them to try to hang in there until they can get Giannis back.
Right, Perk, they're going to need the Portland Damian Lillard. Go ahead, yeah. Not the 2023-24
game. Let me ask y'all a question.
Okay.
Let me ask y'all a question. You said their record against the Milwaukee, the Indiana Pacers is what, 1-3 this season?
They beat them
four out of five times.
1-4, yeah.
Okay, they're 1-4. How many of those games did Giannis play?
Giannis played a significant number. I mean, he's averaged 42 against the Pacers just this year.
Oh. And they still have a losing record with Giannis?
Yes.
They still have a losing record with Giannis?
Right.
Okay, cool. So my thing is,
correct.
I'm not sleeping on this team to say, you know what, with a week of preparation, with all these veterans they have in the locker room, with Patrick Beverley being a leader and Doc putting him in the starting lineup, I strongly believe that Dave Joerger, that he has on his bench, along with Coach Rex, that they can figure out a game plan to put this team in position to be successful. I'm not counting this team out, not led by Damian Lillard. I will not.
The one player who's not been in any of these games, did not play in any of the five, is Pascal Siakam. He came over at the trade deadline from Toronto. And so he's a newcomer to this series, and you bring him in now, perhaps the most playoff-tested player on this young Indiana roster. Siakam obviously won a championship with the Raptors.
Well, not to mention that Doc Rivers, the last time these two teams played was January 3rd. Doc was not in position at that point either. So you do have a little bit of new blood, Austin, coming into the series.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to say anything outright or, you know, anything crazy here. All I'm saying is I'm not saying, Perk, that the Bucks can't steal a win or two, but if you're asking me if they can win 4 times out of 7 games without their best player, I just don't see it happening.
It's an uphill battle.
I don't think they can.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
Real quick, Malika, Woj, Austin, so who are y'all, because it's at this time right now, who are y'all taking in this series? Malika? Who you take?
Without Giannis, the Pacers.
Okay. Walt, you're taking the Pacers?
Without Giannis.
I'm not taking anybody.
Without Giannis, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Austin?
What game do we get Giannis back, Perk?
I'm not going to do it. We have a lot to get to before we even get to the first round. If he comes back game three,
if he comes back game three, then they win.
Kendrick, we have a lot to get to. Austin, we have a lot to get to. I'm going to have to move on. I'm sorry to cut you guys off. We need to shift back to tonight's slate that kicks off the New Orleans when LeBron James and the Lakers take on Zion and the Pelicans with the 7th seed on the line here. Remember, the Lakers took 3 out of 4 matchups this season, including a 16-point win in a high-stakes regular season finale on Sunday. And despite all of that, the Pelicans enter the game as 1.5-point favorites. That's according to ESPN Bet. Now, remember, Anthony Davis, he anchors the interior for the Lakers on both ends of the floor, and he's facing off against one of the most dominant paint scorers in the game in Zion Williamson. Both of these players, they are crucial, right, in their team's respective success. But Kendrick, who needs to have a better game tonight for their team to get the W?
It's Zion. Look, the Pelicans are going to go as far as Zion could take them. And I'm trying to figure out, how is Zion a superstar versus the rest of the league? And how is he look like a role player when it comes down to playing against the Los Angeles Lakers? When I look at the defense that LeBron James play on Zion, it looks personal. And it's been that way all season long. He actually take pride in stopping Zion. The Lakers, they key up this, you know, boxes and elbows to take away his driving gap. Zion got to take this matchup personal, but while doing it in the team concept. If he come out and be the best version of himself, they're going to win. Look at this. Minus 59 when playing the Lakers. He has to be Zion like he's Zion against the other teams in the NBA.
Do you agree, Austin?
I can't say I disagree with him. I'm going to go Anthony Davis, but Park's not wrong. The easy answer is both of them. We want to see a high-level performance from both of these guys. Anthony Davis has to be a superstar. That's who he is. That's what we call him. And for them to be in the play-in, we all know, is a little bit disappointing. Hell, there's even disappointment on the Pelican side, too, that we're here. But listen, a lot of teams have stepped up in the West, and here we are. I need Anthony Davis to be the guy who gets to the basket, gets to the free throw line, mixes in the jumper, dominant, has his presence felt inside and out. You want him to be as dynamic of a scorer that we've seen at times, and not a guy that lets length or any physical play disrupt him, because that's exactly what they're going to do tonight. The Pelicans are long. They have multiple guys that can guard him. He's going to have to go out there and be a superstar for them to have a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And more so as a fan, we want to see it. We want to see him and Zion.
Completely
agree. We want to see these guys go at it. That's good for the NBA. So I hope for a good matchup, and I think AD needs to bring it.
Quite simply, the most important game of Zion Williamson's career.
Absolutely, especially after what we saw in the in-season tournament. This is another chance for him to show what he can do, essentially, with not their season quite on the line, but they do not want to slip to be in that single elimination bracket if they lose this game. So many stakes for both teams here. We have a lot to get to. We have no time to waste as we march toward the play-in here with the Warriors season on the line tonight. Steve Kerr, he tells us the single reason why he isn't worried, but his perk, and the best in the business, Tim Legler, he's going to drop by to reveal the formula the Lakers have figured out to stop Zion and the Pelicans. Can't wait for that. Plus, 11 out of the 12 Team USA players, they were announced. But who deserves that final spot? Your perk, Austin. They have some shocking answers ahead on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express and in part by Hulu Plus Live TV. Get over 95 live channels, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus all in one plan.
So who can stop Steph Curry?
Hopefully we'll never find out.
Three-pointer. Bang! Put in work every day and night, so we stay alive every time we fight. Scoop layup is up. That's good! Puts it in! Oh, Steph Curry from way downtown! A 50-point game seven.
One of the greats of all time showed us once again what he's capable of doing as he chases his fifth ring.
We all remember the 50-piece, but it's so much more than that, right? Curry has averaged just under 33 points a game against the Kings over the last two seasons, including the playoffs. His third most opponents against a single competitor in this time. And Steve Kerr, he summed up what makes this guy so dang good in high-stakes games.
We've seen him
win championships, win finals MVP. I mean, Steph Curry is Steph Curry. So he's that guy, you know. He's him, I think Austin Reeves said.
Ah, yes, the great philosopher Austin Reeves being evoked there. Steph may be him, but he will need to outsmart a fox, which will be tough. The Warriors, the Kings, last three games, they've all been decided by just 1 point. So let's just take a little trip back. This is October. The Kings wanted revenge for Game 7, but instead, they got another dose of Steph. Steph hits a three with less than a minute to go and put this game to bed. And then he hits the night-night. Oh, my goodness. 41 points. The Warriors win 122-114. And then November 1st, every other Kings-Warriors game, this is where things get really tight. Steph Curry behind the back over Malik Monk. Clank, clank, gets that one in. The Warriors up 199. Kings ball. 20 seconds left. Malik Monk finds Domantas Sabonis. Little mid-range jumper. Gets that one to go off the glass to give the Kings the lead. The Warriors, they don't call a timeout here. Steph brings it up. The Kings send the double team. Draymond Green looking. Five. Finds Klay Thompson. Klay elevates for the win. He gets it to go. Klay had 14 points. The Warriors, they hang on in this one. A thriller thanks to Klay Thompson. Over a tough defensive coverage there. He had 14. The Warriors win 102-101. So let's just shimmy on down to November 28th. This is their third matchup. This one in the in-season tournament. Less than a minute's left. The Warriors led by as many as 24 in this one. Malik Monk slings it out to De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox looking for a spot. Kevin Huerter back to Monk. Monk elevates for three. Gets that one to go. Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk will both be out for tonight's play-in game, though. The Warriors, they have a chance. Draymond Green bringing the ball up the court, but he loses it out of bounds. The Golden State Warriors had 20 turnovers in this game. Still time left on the clock here. Golden State up by one. Sacramento looking. Malik Monk puts a shoulder down, elevates, tough shot off the glass, gets that one to go in, and the Sacramento Kings take a one-point lead. That's the guy who you want to have the ball in his hands in the final seconds, though. Steph Curry, it's online. Off the front rim, and the Sacramento Kings escape with a one-point win in this one. All right, fine. Let's go to January 25th. It's 2 days before my birthday. Their last matchup. 47 seconds left. The Warriors down by one. Jonathan Kuminga inbounds to Draymond Green. Nice little pass there for the dunk. Warriors lead 133-132. And then Kevin Huerter finds a bonus. Uncontested dunk in the lane. The Kings now lead 134-133. All right, everyone catch their breath. Last possession of the game. The Warriors with the ball down by one. The Dubs, they get the ball to Steph. That's who you want to take the shot. De'Aaron Fox is on him. They send help. Oh, no. Steph turns it over. Fox had 29. Harrison Barnes had 39. And the Kings won 134-133. So tonight they'll play one more time, which the loser season ending after this. Will there be more late game drama? You got to believe so, because after their 3 1-point meetings in the regular season, the Warriors, they're 2.5-point favorites on the road tonight in Sacramento. That's according to ESPN Bet. So let the games begin, because they literally could not be any closer right between these two NorCal rivals. So Perk, when you're looking at all of this, what do you think is going to be the deciding factor in tonight's win or go home game?
You know what? I'm looking at a matchup, and I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox. Without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, Malik Austin, he's going to have to be outstanding to get past Golden State. But I'm looking at a wing player, a guy that when the Warriors won the championship, some would say was the second best player on the floor, and Andrew Wiggins. And when I look at Andrew Wiggins, and I'm looking at the size, okay, you're looking at 6'7". Andrew Wiggins is. You're looking at De'Aaron Fox being 6'3". Look at these clips right here. Andrew Wiggins staying connected, using his size, his athleticism to stay in front of Fox. Fox is really trying to get in his bag on this play. He cut him off on the baseline. Look at the contest of the jump shot. That's the contest that's saying, I'm going to make you miss and not hope you miss. Here go another clip right here. Again, Andrew Wiggins, 6'7". De'Aaron Fox, 6'3". Using his size, his athleticism, giving him space, taking up the space, staying on his feet, staying down. The length is bothering De'Aaron Fox, which forced a turnover right there. So I'm looking at this matchup tonight, and we know De'Aaron Fox has to be special. 37% field goal percentage the last two seasons. That's what Andrew Wiggins is holding De'Aaron Fox to when he's guarding him or the closest defender. This is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Park, I love your pick. I think Wiggins is crucial in tonight's game. When you look at Monk being out and Herter being out, the spacing for the Kings is not going to be there. That floor is going to shrink. Play-in is an extension of the playoffs, so we're going to get a little bit of that playoff basketball tonight. They're going to let a little bit more physical play happen. The game might slow down a little bit. You want the Kings to play at a good pace. I think people really underestimate. I mean, Malika, when you went through those clips there, you saw crunch time. Malik Monk made a lot of those shots. He takes big shots for the Kings, and someone who probably was a favorite for Sixth Man of the Year still might win it, obviously. Naz Reid, a couple other candidates are in that mix. But he is vital for their team, and Herter provides spacing. With those guys out, you're going to need Mitchell and some of these other guys who you aren't really, I would say we don't classify them as traditional three-point shooters.
Yeah.
That space is going to be tight. Wiggins is going to have an opportunity to really be aggressive and be a defender, knowing that he's going to have help behind us because he can. It's going to be a tough game for the Kings.
Right.
And I don't think they can win without those two guys. I really don't.
It's going to be incredibly difficult. One other thing that I'm keeping an eye on, we expect Trayce Jackson-Davis to get the primary assignment on Domantas Sabonis. And usually that's been Kevin Looney historically. We're taking a look now. This is the Golden State Warriors warming up in Golden One Center in Sacramento, getting set for this winner-take-all game. The loser season ends tonight. But that's not the only play-in game that we got. Oh, no, my friends. Up next, we're going down to New Orleans, baby, for the latest on what the Lakers are prioritizing ahead of their playoff-clinching game tonight. LeBron versus Zion, Anthony Davis and B.I., but it's that time. Perk, Austin, they're going to pick if Zion or LeBron will advance to the playoffs tonight. I'm going to just get out of the way for this one and let them take that. And in honor of Blake Griffin's retirement today, we reveal some of the best plays of his career. That's coming up after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
So remember on Sunday night, Anthony Davis, he was shoved while he was in the air. This was late in Los Angeles' 124-108 win over the Pelicans. You can see just right here, he would come out of the game. He didn't return. He was gingerly holding his back, but he said he would be on the court for tonight's all-important play-in game in New Orleans. So for more on Anthony Davis' status, I'd like to welcome in our reporter who is covering the Lakers down in New Orleans right now. Dave, what more can you tell us about AD's availability for tonight?
Malik, he's listed as questionable by the team, but certainly he has every intention of getting out there in this play-in scenario. He used the last 24 hours or so to get massage on his lower back. They did joint mobilization exercises and shockwave therapy. He was also trying out different heat pads that he could wear underneath his uniform to try to keep his back loose throughout the game. So certainly he recognizes the enormity of this moment and the fact that the Pelicans have, you know, really laid down against the Lakers so far this season, with the Lakers going 3-1, and recognizing that it's going to be a more physical brand of basketball tonight, and he has to be ready both mentally and physically for the matchup.
Not to mention, no one knows the Pelicans organization better than Anthony Davis. But beyond AD, what are the Lakers and LeBron James prioritizing ahead of this all-important game?
Well, I mentioned, right, so they're 3-1 against them so far, so they have a ton of familiarity against this Pelicans team. So they decided to give the team off on Monday, let the guys get off their feet. They came together at a hotel ballroom for a film session to look over what happened on Sunday, ways they can get better. But really, it's all about trying to win tonight's game. They can follow the same path that they did last year. You win the 7-8, then you have 4 or 5 days off to rest your guys and also game plan for game one of the first round on the road. And we know what happened last year. They went to Memphis, they won game one. That was the springboard for them making all the way to the Western Conference Finals. I recognize the Nuggets are a different opponent than the Grizzlies were last year, but the idea of being healthy and being prepared is a great formula for this veteran Lakers ball club to go into the playoffs with.
It all starts with getting it done tonight, and you mentioned those three wins. They haven't lost by less than 16 points in those. They certainly know the recipe to get it done. Now they have to execute. It looks like it's already a party going on behind you, so I'm going to let you go enjoy that. Because after the Lakers' big win over the Pelicans on Sunday, New Orleans head coach Willie Green, he said, they just punched us right in the mouth, and they kept going. And that's just been the story of the matchup, right, for the majority of the season. The Lakers, they won 3 of the 4, as Dave just mentioned, against the Pelicans during the regular season. All 4 of those games decided by just huge margins, as you can see right here. That includes the Lakers' 44-point win in the in-season tournament semis in Las Vegas. And our Tim Legler, the best in the business, he has more on how the Lakers have shut down the Pelicans.
Well, Malika, a few things came into play in that game on Sunday, and I think they will continue in this play-in game. It basically came down to pace, size, and LeBron James' skill level. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. And Anthony Davis, really big factor in this game. Starts off with the Lakers' defense, and take a look here. You can take a look. When this ball is advanced, you can see C.J. McCollum's thinking about it. But the reason he doesn't even think about going baseline is because Anthony Davis is back there in the paint lurking. His presence was going to be a big factor in this game the entire way. But this sort of sets the stage for how this possession is going to go. Anthony Davis taking away that baseline drive. We continue on, get a little ball screen action. This is just great high hands. Take a look right here, D'Angelo Russell with the switch, but his hands get high. So this pass right here, this attempted pass, cannot get completed. You get a deflection, you get a loose ball pickup, and now you get paced the other way. And this was a theme throughout, creating offense with your defense. This time it's D'Angelo Russell. But this is where it really gets going. Once this ball's picked up, take a look at LeBron James. He is sprinting to the middle of the floor, and he's got 2 teammates out in front. And it's very important what happens here. Both guys are going to stay on the right side of the floor, and I'm going to tell you why that's important in a second. When this outlet comes, here goes LeBron, and the last person I want you to look at, here's Anthony Davis. Watch Anthony Davis sprint the floor and get ahead of the play right here. LeBron turns. The first thing LeBron James is going to do, scan the backline defenders. He can see, because there's 2 guys on the right side of the court, he now knows both of these defenders are going to have to go with the shooters on the right side of the floor. And consequently, Zion's going to have to stop basketball. What does that mean? There's a void of space back here, and take a look at Anthony Davis. He's right in the middle of it. LeBron James gets to about this point, and he can see there's nobody on the backside. Anthony Davis puts that big arm up. LeBron James is going to lead him perfectly to the basket, and Anthony Davis gets 2 of the Lakers' 68 paint points. This was a theme throughout the game. Very similar on this play. Defense starting your offense. And again, it's Anthony Davis right in the middle of it. Great job right here. Committing off of the shooter. Gets in the lane of the driver. Comes up with the loose ball. Here we go. Outlet it to the guard. And then Anthony Davis runs straight to the rim. Now, Austin Reaves, you'll see as he comes in the middle, takes a look. He thinks about getting it to Anthony Davis. But this is going to be a very difficult pass going to your left off the dribble. Instead, he also sees, here comes LeBron James. Let's run a dribble handoff. And at the exact time that's happening, LeBron James already sees that Anthony Davis is going to be open. Watch how quickly he gets rid of the basketball. It's in his hands and it's out of his hands that quickly. And there's Anthony Davis, and the back line, not big enough back here for the New Orleans Pelicans. It goes to AD, continues to flush. The route is on. The Lakers control the game. It's too much size. It's too much speed. It's too much talent for the Los Angeles Lakers. When they play to their style, interior, Lakers are going to be a tough team to beat.
Okay, so that's what Tim thinks, but it's time now for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. So let's just stick with this matchup. It all goes down tonight. Perk, Lakers, Pelicans, who you got?
I got Zion and the Pelicans, baby. I'm going with Noya. I think they're going to come out with a playoff-type mindset, mentality. I think they're going to come out. They're going to be physical. We heard Willie Green somewhat call him out. Imagine what he was saying in the film room. I believe they're going to pick up their intensity, especially at the wing position. From Murphy, Herb Jones, Zion is going to be more physical. And I'm looking at C.J. McCollum, the veteran. He's going to get into his bag tonight.
Yeah, definitely got the home cooking with New Orleans. Not a bad pick, Kirk, but I'm going
gumbo.
Experience on this one. Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? I'm going with the Lake Show. I'm going with the Hollywood team. LeBron James, AD, they've been here. They've made this run before. We can all remember last year the historic run that they made all the way to the conference finals. Maybe not historic, but a good run nonetheless. And I see this team being able to perform in these bright lights. I mean, we're talking about a high-pressured situation. LeBron James is the best to ever do it, or arguably. And, yeah. You know, you got Anthony Davis. He's got the role players down there. I see this team going out there and playing well. Perk talked about it. LeBron and them, they guard Zion pretty damn well with that size that they have. Again, AD's that X factor, or one of them at least. But I think the Lakers win.
Woj said it at the beginning of the show. This is the single most important game of Zion Williamson's career right here. And he has a whole lot that he can go out and prove against LeBron James, Anthony Davis and company. It's just so difficult, and you guys know this better than I do, to go on the road essentially and win two playoff or playoff-like games. And that's what the Los Angeles Lakers are tasked with doing between Sunday and today, basically starting off 2-0 in their playoffs on the road. But that's what it all comes down to. All right, that's who we got. The question is, who are you picking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they've placed their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. Hey, Perk. So here are tomorrow night's NBA play-in tournament games out east on ESPN and the app. 7 Eastern, Joel Embiid, the Sixers. They host playoff Jimmy Buckets in the Heat in the battle for the 7th seed. I can't wait for that. And then it's a win-or-go-home in the 9-10 game between the Hawks and the Bulls. I have confirmed, my sources have told me, that DeMar DeRozan's daughter will not be in attendance for this one. So we're not going to get those piercing screams that we all looked forward to last year. But our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 6:30 Eastern. And I have a feeling there's always Stephen A., Bob, Kendrick, there's always some screams there. Team USA's Olympic roster is out, and there is just one spot left. So Perk is going to tell you who should fill out the roster. That's next.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA Draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark.
I've dreamed of this moment since I was in second grade. I always just believed in myself. I feel like college was obviously amazing, and you get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm ready for something new, and I'm excited to get to Indianapolis. I earned it, and that's why I'm so proud of it.
Less than 1 month from today, Caitlin Clark will make her WNBA debut on ESPN2. Expectations, they're incredibly high. She's a massive favorite already to win Rookie of the Year before even playing a single game. And Clark has the fourth shortest odds to win league MVP as a rookie. That's something that's only been done one time by the great Candace Parker. That was in 2008. So Clark will now be sharing a home arena with the Pacers, right? And fellow point guard Tyrese Halliburton, he posted this: glad we're finally on the same side. Congrats and welcome to the city. And speaking of Tyrese Halliburton, Adrian Wojnarowski back with us now. And Woj, you reported that he will be on the Team USA roster for the Paris Olympics this summer, 2024. What else do we know about this roster?
Well, two players back from last summer's FIBA team, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, right. And a chance for Kevin Durant to win his fourth gold medal and Steph Curry to win his first gold medal. And, you know, Grant Hill, who's the managing director now of USA Basketball, spent really the last year traveling around, spending a lot of time individually with a lot of the players on that roster, LeBron James and Drew Holiday, Steph Curry and Bam Adebayo and on down, and really getting a sense of who wanted to be a part of this. I think there was a lot of enthusiasm among the iconic players, and getting Joel Embiid, that was the one you know, that he had to do some recruiting on. He could have played for France. He has citizenship there. And now Joel Embiid would go back to France to play in these Olympics.
Just a star-studded roster up and down. Potentially, when you look at what spot maybe needs to be added to, you could say, okay, maybe do they have the wing depth that they need? But when you think of Steph Curry playing in his first Olympic Games for his head coach, Steve Kerr, right, it kind of only makes sense. The bookends of 2004 for LeBron James, and now again in 2024, Richard Jefferson was on that roster. I don't know, maybe he's coming out of retirement for this one. I don't actually think so. There
I think
is
he's
one
the 12th man.
Spot. Yeah, he's the 12th man. There's one open roster spot, Perk. Is it Richard? Who do you see playing in Paris?
It's definitely not Richard. And a part of me wanted to lean towards Jalen Brunson. I got to let Brunson sit this one out. I'm going with Paul George. Mm. I think Paul George should get the nod. When you look at the wing position, right, yes, you got LeBron, but he's up in age. You got Kevin Durant, he's up in age. When you're looking at a guy that you could just plug in, he doesn't need the ball in his hands to be effective. He is a great slasher without the ball. On the defensive side of things, we know what he brings to the table. Being able to defend multiple positions, the activity, he's a good rebounder at his size. I like Paul George getting the nod here.
Who do you like, Austin?
Yeah, I like Paul George too, but you know, for me, there's a couple answers. You can go Brunson, although I don't know how much he would play or if he would be even usable with all the guards they already have. So then that begs the question, should Kyrie be? Are we talking about the best players available? Because if that's the case, Kawhi would be over Paul George, considering he's the best player in the Clippers. I don't know how to diagnose this. I guess my answer would be, does it matter? The team is loaded. This roster is ridiculous. They went and got LeBron and Steph because of last year's FIBA and how that went. So we're pulling out every strength and bullet that we got to win this. Who the 12th man is at this point, I would like them to do what they've done in recent years. Why don't you go grab, like they did with Leitner and how they did in my draft class, they grabbed Anthony Davis. Grab Cooper Flagg. Hell, put him on the make him the 12th guy. Seriously, the experience it would give him. You're talking about, you know, grooming players for tomorrow and what that experience could do for these young, talented players, especially in a draft class where we don't have a lot of star power. Throw the biggest star in there. Throw Cooper Flagg in there. It makes sense.
Yeah,
Grant Hill's a Dookie, get it done.
Those days are over. They are going to load this team with not necessarily the best available,
chances, huh?
The best available player, right. But it's got to be a fit. And you look at Jrue Holiday, he fits FIBA basketball. You know, he had a huge impact in 2021. They really wanted him back on this team. Yeah, but they're not bringing in any college players this group.
Yeah, they need a
best available Duke player.
Something.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah,
Duke recruit.
The best available Duke player is Kyrie Irving. If he didn't have the noise and all the stuff off the court the past, you know, whatever 3 or 4 years, his name would be on this roster. Because if we talk about his success in Olympic basketball, you remember him in FIBA a few years back. He was the best player on that team and led them to a FIBA medal. He's better than Haliburton, but you know, here we are. it is what it is. Haliburton will be a good fit.
We're going to be working on after the break. We're going to get into your all Duke roster. That'll be coming up after this. Woj, thank you. It's time for Before We Bounce, brought to you by SiriusXM. Vin Baker is now in his sixth season as an assistant coach for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was a four-time All-Star during his 13 years in the NBA. But Baker, he struggled with alcoholism that nearly cost him everything. His basketball career, homes, millions of dollars, all just gone because of his addiction. But now he is celebrating 14 years of sobriety and earlier this spring launched the Vin Baker Recovery Center. Bucks players, including Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, they were in attendance for the grand opening last week. And the center, it will provide new resources to families that are looking for addiction recovery services in Milwaukee, including access to mental health care, recovery support, so that they can conquer their addictions and pursue new beginnings in life. And at the opening, Baker said, quote, "When you find your purpose-driven life, you start living." And as someone who went through my own recovery journey, I applaud you, Vin. That was absolutely well said and well done.
What a play!
Perk, you might want to take the next segment off. Blake Griffin, he announces retirement. We're dusting off some top of the top from Lob City, and I'm afraid you might be on the wrong side of some of these.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
One of the game's greatest dunkers. He decided to hang it up at age 35. He's a six-time All-Star. Blake Griffin, he announces retirement from the NBA earlier this morning on Instagram. He said in part, quote, All of these experiences made my 14 years in the league truly unforgettable, and I can't help but to just feel thankful. And I was actually lucky enough to cover Blake Griffin during his season with the Nets. He was such a pleasure to be around in the locker room, so we're certainly all wishing you the best in your next chapter. But we also need to honor you the only way that we know how. It's a little special top of the top brought
Congrats,
to you by
Blake.
Navy Federal Credit Union, because not many players have a better career highlight reel than this. So we're going to start with Blake Griffin's top windmill jams. He gets a whole category of just lobs. This one from Jamal Crawford. Ooh!
KJC.
Ooh. The whole setup
is more pressing than dunk.
With the finish.
Well, you have to finish it off with a pass like that, though. And then next, you got Griffin soaring for the lob. This is over the Spurs. Yep.
Matt can't throw a lob to save his life. That was ridiculous. Yeah, look at this. We'll go to the left and grab it back.
You know
Sometimes the worst lobs are the best lobs.
See? And then, of
course, they do create the best dunks.
The dunk contest. This was iconic.
I never liked this one. He jumped like over the damn license plate.
Can you jump over the license plate, Austin?
Absolutely. I had a 40-inch vertical, Malika.
Next time you're in studio, bet. All right, going coast to coast. This is against Zach Randolph and the Grizzlies. Ooh, nice little finish. Walking on air for a couple seconds there. And then next up, you got, of course, we had to have a Chris Paul highlight in here, too, with him. That's why they called it Lob City.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to hold you. Who put this edit?
Blake Griffin
we got
takes
way
off
better
from near the free
what
throw
is this?
Line. He took off from near the free throw line.
Nah, man. Hey, BG, I'm sorry, baby.
All right, what about this? How about top posters?
Here we go.
There you go. Here you go, Austin.
There we go. Look at him. All over the back of his neck.
That was on Pau Gasol.
Oh, God.
Is this what you wanted, Austin?
This is what we wanted. This is what we wanted, Malika.
We had to build up to this. Perk, you want this one?
I don't mind.
It means you were defending.
Was that me?
Hey, Perk, tell him. That looks skinny. That's all that was.
Looking great, Perk.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, Griffin, of course, he made 5 All-NBA teams in his career, scored the second most points in Clippers history. He was also the 2010-11 Rookie of the Year, and he won the 2011 Dunk Contest. Congratulations to Blake Griffin. So the postseason, it is upon us, and it's also the best time of year as a basketball fan. But you know what that means. That means Larry, he's hitting the road. He's just, jumping out of airplanes. That was me during last year's NBA Finals when I got to drive him around on a boat in Miami. He goes skydiving. He kind of goes everywhere. We were on a cigarette boat. He's in New York's most famous, Cat's Deli. He's at UFC 300. He's all over the place. It's quite the start to the postseason. I cannot wait to see where he is off to next. He is on an adventure. We know that. And fans, Larry, he's going to be everywhere. So you can follow along on social media at NBA Finals Trophy and see where he is headed after this. But while we're talking about Larry, we know how much winning a fifth trophy it means to Klay Thompson. You see this over in the corner here? This is what is hanging up in Klay Thompson's locker room in the arena in the Bay Area, because that is a San Francisco Chronicle article that he cut out that has all the 5-time NBA champions in it. It is a elite list that he is hoping to join, and he has that up in his locker room just as a reminder. But just moments ago, the Warriors, they were holding shoot around, and Klay Thompson spoke about their matchup against the Kings tonight.
We've been through it. Obviously, stakes are higher, but at the end of the day, it's just basketball, and the season was full of those. So many close games could have gone either way. I feel like we were right there as far as being a 50-win team, but like you said, we had some unfortunate finishes this season. So no excuses now. We're here. We have a chance to make the playoffs, but we got to take care of business tonight.
I know her. She's our boots on the ground, our reporter covering the Golden State Warriors, Kendra Andrews. Kendra, we know the stakes are high for Golden State tonight. What's their mindset heading in?
Yeah, Malika, the Warriors just wrapped up shoot-around a little bit ago, and everyone seems to be in a good space. Stephen Curry went through his full shooting routine. He's looking and feeling good. And they're approaching tonight as if it's another Game 7. And Steph the other day said it's actually ironic that the play-in game is against the Kings, because, Malika, we all remember that epic 7-game series from just about a year ago between these two teams in the same exact building. Steph said, "We got the job done then, and we just have to repeat it now. We still believe that we can beat anybody on any given night. It just comes down to execution and getting the job done." They're looking to do that. And then, as Steph said, just win one game, then one more game, and then hopefully make it into a competitive playoff series.
That's all they need. They just need a crack. They just need a slight edge to be able to go in and take advantage. Thank you. You could say that they're in a golden state of mind heading into this one. Kendra, I appreciate it. Let's take a look, though, at Bobby Marks' offseason outlook on the Dubs. We're not there yet. But Klay Thompson, he will be an unrestricted free agent. The Warriors, they have to decide what to do with Chris Paul's almost $31 million non-guaranteed contract. They won't have a first-round pick, unless it moves up to the top four, which is unlikely. So, Perk, there's a lot of questions. There's more questions than there are answers. I am firmly a member of the Don't Pour Dirt on the Dynasty. I'd rather be late to the party club that Brian Windhorst started. But you've been adamant in saying that this dynasty has been over. Do you think the Warriors will advance to the playoffs? And if they don't, what does the fallout look like in your mind?
I don't think they're going to get to the postseason, because even if the Pelicans or the Lakers lose tonight, I got the Warriors losing to them, because I got the Warriors beating the Sacramento Kings. But, I mean, every good thing comes to an end. And I understand, you know, a lot of people don't want to throw dirt on the dynasty, but they've been buried for a while now, for the last, year and a half, going on 2 years now. And it's okay. And I'm thinking the first piece is going to be Klay Thompson. I was the one that was real high on Klay being traded. I'm still on that because I feel like he has a lot left in the tank. I feel like a change of scenery would do wonders for Klay Thompson. And I also feel like somebody's going to offer him a bigger bag than what the Golden State Warriors are going to offer him this offseason. Just my opinion.
Austin?
Yeah, I agree with Perk to multiple things. First, let's start with, I do believe that they'll beat the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Especially without, like we mentioned earlier, no Herder, no Monk. I see the Warriors getting that win, but I do not see them beating, whether it's the Lakers or Pelicans, I don't see them winning twice in a row and getting to the postseason, which then asks, you know, the major question, do they rebuild? Do they go in a different direction? And in my eyes, as long as Steph Curry is there, they're going to continue to try to build around him as he has these primal years. You can't trade him without having your house burned down or your block lit up. So that's just what it's going to be. So as long as Steph's going to be there, you got to build around him in his last prime years. Klay will get a bag to go somewhere else, though. And if they don't even get into the playoffs this year, I would look to probably move off of him and go in a different direction.
But it all starts with the play-in tournament tonight. Enjoy the games. We'll see you to break it all down tomorrow.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much up.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.